Well, a Ferguson, Missouri activist found her son hanging from a tree, and police are ruling it a suicide, but the mother believes it was a lynching.
He was not suicidal.
From Double Asterisk, Now This, and iHeartRadio comes an unforgettable new investigative podcast series, After the Uprising. All episodes are available now. Listen today on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Is a
this
paid program.
Is the Todd 630 WLAP on News Radio 630 WLAP and WLAP.com.
Welcome to the camp. I guess you all know why we're here. My name is Tommy, and I became aware this year. If you want to follow me, you've got to play pinball. Your earplugs, put on your eye shades, you know where to put the caulk.
We're gonna take it.
I used to play around with hearts, hasten at my call. But when I met that little girl, knew that I would fall for a little fool. Oh yeah, I was a fool.
Poor little fool, I was a fool all night.
She'd play around and tease me with her carefree devil eyes. She'd hold me close and kiss me, but her heart was full of lies. Poor little fool. Oh yeah, I was a fool.
Welcome to the Tom Dupree Show. This week, joining us, Adarsh Meshru, Mike Johnson, and our host, Tom Dupree.
This is by Ricky Nelson. If you're my age, you might remember Ozzie and Harriet, the TV show. I can remember that the shows would sometimes end up with Ricky playing at a sock hop or a dance. You know, he died a sad death. But I'm taken by Bob Dylan's, yeah, we're talking Bob Dylan's description of Ricky. He said he sang his songs calm and steady, like he was in the middle of a storm, men hurtling past him. His voice was a sort of mysterious and made you fall into a certain mood. I've always felt kin to him. In the few years' time, he'd record some of my songs, make them sound like they were his own, like he'd written them himself. He eventually did write one himself and mentioned my name in it. The thing was that Ricky was still making records, and that's what I wanted to do, too. He was, died too young, but, you know, he's just a, I don't think we've really figured out how good he was. All right. You can't invest without trading. You can trade without investing. Well, duh. this is Jason's wig. It looks like he's trying to get fired. He says, I've had it. The Wall Street Journal, his employer, is wrong and has remained wrong for decades. Wow, that's not a thing I would say if I was wanting to keep my job. About one of the most basic distinctions in finance, and I cannot stand it anymore. If you buy a stock purely because it's gone up without doing any research on it whatsoever, you are not, as a journal and its editors bizarrely insist on calling you, an investor. If you buy a cryptocurrency because, hey, that sounds like fun, you aren't an investor either. So what's his problem here? I mean, it sounds like he maybe wants to go start a hedge fund or something and just kind of give them the, you know, on the way out the door.
Right, right. I mean, I think he'll have to work at getting fired. We'll see.
They like him. Okay.
But he the issue he's taken here is something we've talked about on this show for the last, you know, on and off for the last few weeks. You know, what is speculating? What is trading versus investing, you know, and a lot of that has to do with time horizon research. But he likens it as, you know, part of a marketing ploy. Everybody talks about the new investors in on, you know, the new Robin Hood investors, which is what, you know, retail investors is what they're always called. Right. Nothing inherently wrong with what they're doing, but what is wrong, and I mean, let me explain that what is wrong is not knowing the risks that you're taking and not being aware that you are a speculator or that you're an investor. The big difference, investing, you are looking at tangible assets. You know, you're looking at the balance sheets, income, you're doing research on it. You can be an investor in AMC stock, GameStop, one of these meme stocks. You can be an investor in it, or you can be a speculator. If you're just buying it because everybody's talking about it, it's a momentum trade, that's speculating. And just the way that the Wall Street Journal, these other people just generally refer to it as investors, it's putting fuel on the fire.
Right. So Mike says, the pre-financial group has had this wrong for decades, and I've had it. We're in the momentum. Forget value. I'm sorry.
This is my final pre-financial radio show. Now, so
you got one or two more in you.
I got a couple at least. So I like this, and I don't speak Latin. You can, I'm sure, correct me on this, but the word investor comes from investire.
You just pronounce it like it looks.
Okay, investire. To dress in or clothe oneself, surround or envelop. And so if you are an investor, you need to be just, you need to know everything about that holding, that company.
You become part of it in a sense. I mean,
yeah,
it becomes part of you.
Right. And this is interesting. So Benjamin Graham, who wrote Security Analysis, he actually wrote a very similar letter to the Wall Street Journal in 1962. And he said, by what definition of investment can one give the name investors to small people who make bets on a stock on the stock market by selling odd lots short? If these people are investors, asked Graham, how should one define speculation and speculators? Isn't it possible that the current failure to distinguish between investment and speculation may do grave harm not only to individuals but the whole financial community, as it did in the late 1920s? So we're not just talking semantics here, and we're not just, you know, getting up here and just saying, well, you're not really an investor, you're a speculator. There's a big difference, and it has real world ramifications to it, because you get these things that steamroll, and, you know, people are hurt by it. Now the interesting thing, when you look
let me ask you, are you pissed off about this?
No, I'm not at all. Well,
could you get pissed off about it?
I could.
Okay.
But it's just not worth it. Now, you know, the interesting thing though, when you look at, we use GameStop as an example. And Adarsh touched on this a couple weeks ago. You know, if somebody's investing in GameStop, they're not doing it just based on momentum. They might be looking at it saying, okay, because of this momentum, they're going to be able to issue shares, thus pay off debt, do all these other things, reform the company.
Yeah, but they won't be able to sell that much stock and hold the price there. I mean, I don't think they can.
Probably not. I don't know. They raised, I guess, close to $1 billion, somewhere around there.
Yeah, but they need several billion, don't they? Don't they have $14 billion in debt or something? Some big number.
Are you talking about AMC or
GameStop?
Yeah, I don't know what the number is, but they did raise. Well, it was better than nothing, I guess, compared to, you know, had they raised it before the whole thing rallied, before the stock rallied.
So I mean, and this is what makes a market. You know, investors could disagree if that will reshape the company or give them the ability to do that. That's an investment thesis.
I have a problem with thinking a company's a good buy because they can sell stock at a higher price and raise a bunch of proceeds. To me, that's disingenuous because it says that they're selling the stock at too fat of a price. And so therefore, why would you be a buyer?
Right.
I mean, that's all that's
sure. And but they have had buyers.
Yeah.
And so the question becomes, what do they do? What can they do with the capital? Now, I don't own it, wouldn't own it. So I'm not making the thesis, hey, you should go buy GameStop.
Well, so we were going to talk about how we do things kind of versus the way the market does.
Yeah.
So what would our response with our clients be to how we would invest when they come in and say, do this, do that? What are we doing right now in real time,
yeah,
with our clients that is an alternative to that?
It is a diversified portfolio, first off. So it's not overly concentrated in one particular sector or one particular stock. It's every single position in the portfolio, be it an individual stock, an exchange-traded fund, there's a specific reason we own it. And we're looking for more repeatable types of businesses. It's not something that, like the conversation we were just having, it's not what is the company going to be able to do to survive.
Yeah.
This is these companies.
But we have to counteract that kind of thinking.
Exactly.
Which is prevalent in the marketplace. And big amounts of money are being managed with this style of thinking.
Exactly.
Chasing the hot dot, not investing, trading. Big ass pieces of money. This whole Bitcoin thing, now worth $1 trillion or whatever the hell it's worth, it's all based on speculation.
Right.
Every bit of it. I mean, you know, we know there's no intrinsic value there. There just simply isn't. What are you, is there that much gold behind it? No, there's not. I bet people think that.
Yeah.
I guarantee you, I've talked to people, and the level of uninformation out there among clients is staggering.
Yes.
The things that they don't know. Well, I just thought I'd buy a little bit because do you know what it is? They have no idea.
Right.
They just throw money into something they got. And they do that with a lot of stocks too. They don't want to know what the daggone thing does. They don't want to work that hard.
Right.
They don't want to do the research. So you asked about getting pissed off. I'm pissed off now. It's because it's just not right. Mm-hmm. We have to counteract that kind of thinking all the time. And you're right on the front lines of doing it. You're talking to clients. They ask you these questions. Should
right.
I buy this? Should I buy that? You get hit with it. You know, no, you shouldn't.
Right. Exactly. And the what we're trying to do is create something that will, A, sustain through somebody's retirement, but then as you have volatility in the market, you know, hopefully take advantage of that. You can't take advantage of volatility in something like, you know, one of these meme stocks because you don't know what the intrinsic value is or if there is any, like you were just talking. You can't average down on something that is potentially worthless. When you have done your research on a company, a sector, when you have volatility, we've had volatility this week, meaning the market has gone down this week.
Yeah.
That's when you start seeing opportunities
right.
in with companies that are sustainable, that have good balance sheets and good management.
So we're starting to see, you know, a pullback in commodities, and that could be timber, that could be steel, that could be copper, that could be oil, that could be farm products, all those kinds of things. We're beginning to see a pullback. They tend to go as a group and trade as a group.
Walmart.com is launching deals for days starting at 7 p.m. on June 20th with huge savings on the hottest items. Up to 40% off select tech, up to 50% off select toys, and up to 60% off summer fashion items. Get the deals while supplies last. That's deals for days starting June 20th at Walmart.com.
There was this concern that, you know, we were going to have shortages of everything. Well, it's looking like we might not have shortages of everything, that there are some supply coming into the thing. The chip situation is starting to get straightened out, as I understand. Have you heard that also?
It is. Yes, it is getting better.
And so the cars are beginning to roll off the line a little bit better and that sort of thing. And it's just like any typical bottleneck. typically it resolves itself. So what does that portend, Adarsh, for inflation, interest rates, and potentially the stock market?
So I would say I would put commodities is definitely one of the sectors, but I would say broadly what you would call cyclical stocks have pulled back here recently. Commodities more so just because they rallied even stronger than some of these other stocks. So cyclical stocks are stocks that do well when the economy initially recovers and in the early stage of an economic recovery. So we had a recession last year, severe recession, everything was shut down. And since then, since, you know, during the second half of the year, things started reopening, business started, picking up again, people started going out and spending again. So some of these stocks that would benefit during the early stages of the recovery, industrial stocks, financial stocks, chemical stocks, and commodity stocks, they were doing, they rallied quite a bit. So initially when COVID first hit and, you know, when we had that big drop in March of last year, the only sector that did well during that time and since from between March and about June or July was tech stocks, because people were staying at home and all of a sudden businesses realized how important technology was. But tech stocks stopped rallying as things started opening up and cyclical stocks rallied. Now we are at a point where these stocks, some of them went up 80-100%. And 2 days ago, the Federal Reserve came out and said that, we may raise interest rates and we may start to tighten liquidity sooner than the market was expecting. So the stocks that got hit the most in that scenario were stocks that were the most sensitive to economic growth. So that's when we saw commodities, industrials, bank stocks, pull back. Now, this does not mean that, cyclical stocks are done moving up. Just because they had a really strong rally since last October especially, they could just be taking, a pause. Tech stocks, on the other hand, some of them have gone nowhere for the last 8, 9, 10 months, and you're starting to see them move up. The big debate has been whether inflation, whether it be in commodities or just the general price of, goods and services that people purchase, is it here to stay? Is it going to be sustainable? Is it going to be higher than what we saw in the previous decade? Or was this, rise in inflation just a temporary phenomenon because supply chains were blocked due to COVID? And some of the supply is now just going to come back, and we are going to, not really have the sort of inflation that the market was anticipating, especially if the Federal Reserve is going to tighten sooner than the market expected.
What about the labor problem, the inability to hire people because of the government benefits, that sort of thing?
So that is a big problem. In fact, I read somewhere that today there are more jobs open than there is a labor pool. Like even if people came back to work, there would still be plenty of jobs open. That is a serious problem. And I think a big reason behind it is that, unemployment benefits have been extended for some time, and as they stop, I don't know, I guess different states have different times when they're going to stop. At that point, you may see more people join the workforce and start working again. But if that doesn't happen, and there's no reason to believe why that will not happen, then that could put even more upward pressure on inflation if, there is demand for workers and workers just don't go back to work.
Yeah.
I think I saw where 23 states have now said that they're not participating.
Yeah.
And so I think maybe September. It's around that time frame where a lot of the benefits are set to expire anyway.
Yeah.
So hopefully you'll start seeing more participation.
Right.
Come in during that time.
If COVID kicks back in again, though,
oh, stop.
All bets are off.
Just don't even bring that up. So we were in a restaurant the other night, and we're told that there was a 30-minute wait. We looked around, and there were probably 30 tables, and probably 8 of them had people sitting at the tables. And it obviously wasn't for your own, you know, protecting your health. It was, and I looked at the girl and I said, obviously you're short of workers. And she said, very short. So how long until that?
This was, I don't mind saying, it was the Cheddar's, which is a big restaurant. If anybody from Cheddar's is listening, Cheddar's down in London, Kentucky. We were down there and I've been in there before and you know, it always got good service. It looked like
could shoot a cannon through there.
Yeah,
and it was empty.
The service that was there was not so great, and the girl was not very friendly.
But where I was going with the thing, how long, Adarsh, until that, how long can restaurants and employers hold out? Because that's hurting their bottom line when they don't, when they can't serve people that are willing to, you know, to purchase whatever they've got.
Right.
One, people stop coming back. And two, your bottom line suffers.
Right.
What's the answer to that? I mean, while the government's subsidizing all of these people.
Yeah.
Oh, stop. The bacon kind? Is that where you were going?
Bacon kind.
And I think there is, I was surprised to even hear Jay Powell, the chairman of the Federal Reserve, talk about it. So he did acknowledge that that was, you know, a reason why there were shortages because of unemployment benefits or the extension of unemployment benefits.
Amazing that he would say that, because Janet Yellen said, no, that's not a problem.
Right.
She's so good. God. Anyway, you know, this is Dupree Financial Group. By the way, we do manage money here. We manage retirement plans and we have to kind of keep saying what we do. You know, it's like, what is it? If you say it 5 times, they'll actually listen. So, yeah.
It's actually 7 times before any action.
That's it. That's it. Okay. But we'd love to have you call us, 233-0400, area code 859. If you're listening in Louisville, we can't do business in Louisville, actually. No, I'm just kidding.
Good grief.
We do. I'm kidding. I'm joking. We would love to have you call us. We're probably going to get to at some point where we start coming over there and maybe doing seminars. We love Louisville. I love Louisville. We would love
all right,
to
we got
to
get out of here.
Did you hear that? Let's say it again. We love you guys.
You're listening to the Tom Dupree Show. Stay tuned for the second half of the second hour. We'll be right back.
When the news goes viral, we'll bring you the facts at the top and bottom of the hour on News Radio 630 WLAP.
Hi, this is Tom Dupree. What actually makes a difference in life? Is it Bitcoin? Is it gold? Perhaps it's bonds, racehorses? No. Of any economic entity in which you can invest, the ones which actually make a difference are corporations. They are maligned, taxed, demonized, run by left-wing ideologues, but still, they must produce a profit. They cannot afford to invest in things the way that government does. Their investments must show a profit. Their investments must be productive. We believe our clients like to think their investments are being productive, both for society and for them. For a free review of your retirement investment portfolio, call Dupree Financial Group at 859-233-0400 and be sure to listen to the Tom Dupree Show Saturdays at 7 a.m. at News Radio 630 WLAP and WLAP.com.
It's all about the nose. It's your air filter, the first line of defense against bacteria and viruses. If too many germs get stuck in your nose, guess what? you get sick. That's why it's so important to keep your nose clean, just like washing your hands. Nasal irrigation gets rid of germs by rinsing the nasal cavity, but neti pots are hard to use and, frankly, kind of gross. Now there's a better way to keep your nose clean and help your body protect itself. It's called Navage Nasal Care. Navage uses powered suction to flush out allergens, mucus, bacteria, and viruses. Millions use Navage for fast, all-natural relief from sinus congestion and allergies, and to breathe better, sleep deeper, snore less, and feel healthier without drugs. Navage is easy to use, affordable, and comes with an absolute guarantee of satisfaction. You wash your hands and brush your teeth every day. Now it's time to start cleaning your nose with Navage. At Navage.com, CVS, Walgreens, Bed Bath, Target, and Rite Aid. Navage, N-A-V-A-G-E. Clean nose, healthy life.
I want to get the vaccine just to protect the people around me.
I was ambivalent about getting the vaccine at first, but the more I saw the concern and the worry.
I've been coaching a team sport for nearly 30 years, and I think that the success of the group is due to each individual person's effort. Join the team.
Join the team.
Join the team. Get your vaccine.
Get the facts at kycovid19.ky.gov.
Or call 855-598-2246.
After an early round of strong to severe storms here on this Saturday morning, we are going to be clearing that out for the afternoon with some drier conditions, but muggy conditions returning for the afternoon. Then as we get to that peak daytime heating where temperatures get into the mid-80s, we could see a few more storms fire up. I'm WKYT meteorologist Adam Bernstein.
Broadcasting live 24-7 from the heart of Big Blue Nation, this is News Radio 630 WLAP, an iHeartRadio station.
Now serving F27 at DMV window number 16.
Okay, Rose, we're second in line.
Perfect, Rose. You remembered the birth certificate?
Yes, and we have our electric bill. Excellent. We'll be Real ID ready in no time. Real ID ready to visit our grandson, Ricky, at Fort Bragg, then fly to New Orleans for Jazz Fest.
Pardon me, are you talking to yourself?
Oh, I'm sorry. I guess I am.
Talk yourself into Real ID readiness by May 3rd, 2023. Make a plan at dhs.gov/realid.
Did you know that over 90% of male enhancement pills are virtually the same thing that's repackaged, redone over and over again? Why settle for the same old product when you can get something completely different? Something that takes male enhancement into the 21st century. Something that really works. Men, you need to try Noxetril, the all-natural male enhancement formula that will unlock your performance in the bedroom to a level you could only dream of. Try to imagine Viagra on steroids. Noxetril is so powerful, that's why it took years for it to finally become available to the public without a prescription. So call now and take advantage of our special Noxetril free bottle offer today. Oh yeah, we recommend that you use the Noxetril dose as directed. Think of your partner. We certainly don't want you to overperform in the bedroom.
Call now and find out how to get a free bottle of Noxetril while supplies last. Call 1-800-993-2190. Free bottles for a limited time. So call now, 800-993-2190, 800-993-2190.
Venus, your guide to fun, sexy style, knows you can't wait to get back to enjoying everything there is to love about summer. And at Venus, you never need to be a member to get our best prices on summer fashion and swimwear to make the most of the season. In fact, for a limited time, everyone can either get our cold shoulder V-neck tee for $9.99 or our famous colored skinny jeans for just $14.99. Venus's lowest prices ever. You also get free shipping on your entire order. Just go to Venus.com and use the promo code HOT21 to save today. No membership required.
Walmart.com is launching deals for days starting at 7 p.m. on June 20th with huge savings on the hottest items. Up to 40% off select tech, up to 50% off select toys, and up to 60% off summer fashion items. Get the deals while supplies last. That's deals for days starting June 20th at Walmart.com.
630 WLAP.
I'm a traveling man. Made a lot of stops all over the Senorita waiting for me down in old Mexico. And if you're ever in Alaska, stop and see my cute little Eskimo.
Welcome back to the Tom Dupree Show for the second half of the second hour. Joining us, Adarsh Meshru, Mike Johnson, and our host, Tom Dupree. Brought to you by Dupree Financial Group.
Oh, God, I love that. So, you know, when I was little, I mean little, like 1962, we got our first color TV in 1964. Dad won it in a raffle in Louisville. And the next thing you know, we had the first color TV on the street. But prior to that, everything was obviously black and white. And this show, Ozzy and Harriet, was pretty much all in black and white. I don't think I ever saw a episode in color. They just aren't out there.
Yeah.
So, anyway. Okay. Why you should stop taking investment advice from social media. A boom in young and overconfident investors has led to the rise of investment influencers on social media platforms, Reddit. But following their advice blindly is not a solid strategy. Really? Oh, my God. Okay. I'll go with you on that. I'm a big fan of social media. Yeah. I use it to decide which clothes to buy, what food to eat, and even which landmarks to visit on holiday. So it felt natural to let these online platforms tell me which assets to invest in, too, especially after seeing how much money some people made in January. So it's this, just the whole idea behind this article. This person probably isn't familiar with fundamental analysis, investment research. They got a little money, maybe from a stimulus check or two, and I'm going to go online and invest it because, hey, we're playing with the house's money here. You know, come on. So you do things based on a hunch. It's like Wall Street is more like a tip sheet that you would have at the racetrack, but probably not even as well researched as that.
Right. Think about it. You know, you think of someone's incentive and accountability. It doesn't get any less accountable than online forums. I mean, that's anonymity at its finest. You know, we're fiduciaries. You know, we legally have to act in the best interest of our clients. And when we're putting together a portfolio, we know what those goals are, what the goals of our clients are. So when person's investing, it has a few bullet points here that are wise. You know, to ask yourself, you know, is someone pressuring you to buy right now? Now that applies to the online portion. That also applies to brokers. Are you feeling pressure to buy a particular product, to invest with someone? Usually when there's pressure applied, the incentives are going against your best interest.
Yeah, unless there's a deal that, you know, I've had pressure applied, and I've applied pressure back when I was a broker, but it would only be in the case of where I felt like somebody was legitimately, you know, needed to move on something.
Right.
I mean, I sold a bunch of a bank stock one time. That it was a little bank out of Ohio, and it was like pulling teeth. I mean, I had to almost sit on people to get them to buy it, and it tripled in value.
Yeah.
So, you know, sometimes it's the right thing to do.
Right.
You know.
Another one is, do you really understand the investment? When we talk to our clients and prospects, you know, we're going through the portfolio line by line, in as much detail as they like, going through each of the holdings, why we are investing in this, why their money is in this investment. So we go through everything in the portfolio. So is there a clear understanding of A, what's in there, and then B, why is it in there? What purpose does it serve? This is a big point too. I mean, we manage people's retirement funds, their investment portfolios. But We also, where we're meeting with the clients every 6 months, there's a lot of other pieces to that. You know, it, when we talk about, you know, we have a relationship with our clients, there's some depth to that. So you think, right. You think of the other services, if you will, that come along with that. So like, for example, I told somebody the other day, you know, investment advice, financial advice, it's a slow process that's done by inches. So like you think about, you have a 25-year-old that has the option of making a deposit to an IRA versus a Roth IRA. So it's a relatively small decision, right. But you know, you put the $5,000 into a Roth. Well, you didn't get the tax deduction.
Right.
So say that's $1,700 you didn't get. But if you compound that over 40 years, you know, that comes out to tens of thousands of dollars.
Right.
That has worked for the client. So it was one very small detail that we've been able to recommend to someone, and over the course of time, that one detail gets compounded.
Yep.
So it's financial advice is the it's a slow game of inches, and you compound those inches over time. That's what we do for our clients. It's not just a one decision done kind of thing. Like when you're looking at a tip sheet or a Reddit or something like that, that's a one and done kind of thing. And they don't really care if it works in your favor or not. Ours is an ongoing thing where we have to continually give good advice, do well on the investments, and all of those compound to a healthy financial outcome.
Right. Well, I think one of the big things missing today is common sense. It's missing in finance. Obviously, you know, you got the urge to capitulate and go with what the mob, i.e. street, is saying, is so strong nowadays that you get guys like Jamie Dimon, who, you know, a year ago was saying Bitcoin is BS and all that. Now, you know, they're taking a harder look at it. The pressure to conform is greater than it's ever been. And so contrarian thinking, not just in investing, but in all elements of life, is harder to do because people want you to do what they think you ought to do. And that's why social media and the platforms can be so powerful, because to go against the crowd requires thinking and looking at it and saying, is this right? And you have to critically think. Well, many people, and we're getting to where it's fewer and fewer all the time, have never been trained or educated to think critically. They don't know how to do it. They don't know how to make comparisons because they have no reference points from history that they can go back and look and say, you know, this happened then and it didn't really work out. Why should it work out now? Kind of thing. And so to have an element of sound thinking, or to at least base your decisions upon that, is getting to be a rare thing. I mean, people accept asset categories carte blanche without ever looking into what the hell they are.
Right.
And now I'm getting pissed.
I think this, you know, phenomenon of going with the crowd, you know, I think that tends to repeat. It keeps happening over and over again because there is a safety.
Thinking is painful.
Yes, thinking is painful, yes. And once you are with your peers and you're doing the same thing that your peers are doing, you feel, more secure almost. It's almost like, people tend to commit crimes when they're in a mob, which they wouldn't do otherwise. So I think this is something that's happened over and over again. Social media today, is perhaps exacerbating that, because back in, say, 50 years ago, bubbles used to happen, mob thinking used to happen, crowd thinking, but perhaps it was slower because you'd get your news from a friend or from the newspaper or from the radio. Today, it's, available to you right away.
My grandfather used to offer bonds to banks by letter. He would mail them a letter and say, "We have these bonds available." The idea being that they would not have traded by the time the bank got the letter. We used to get letters in the mail from the big brokerage firms. That would be 2 or 3 days. "Oh, we have these bonds." And, you call them and they still had them.
Wow.
If they still had them for a long time, you don't want to fool with them because they're too expensive.
Yeah.
So anyway.
So, how this ends, or does it ever end, or is this the new normal, that social media is going to play a big role? I think, on the bright side, the good thing is that, if people are trading in the market, trading is a zero-sum game. In fact, trading is a negative-sum game because there's a winner, there's a loser, and in this case, there's a broker who takes a little bit of a commission in between. So most people will end up losing money, if they're just blindly following someone. But if they are able to learn a lesson from it early on, in their 20s, and go on to become better investors as a result, then perhaps, that may be a good thing that comes out of this.
I mean, they're only going to be a good investor if they're capable of self-reflection, if they're capable of assessing themselves, and that's not easy to do. It's kind of even impossible to do by yourself. I think you have to have others around you.
Right. And, there are different types of personality. So a certain personality, once they lose money, they'll be like, "Okay, this game is rigged. I'm not going to do this anymore. Let someone else do it for me." Then there's the second type, which says, "Okay, perhaps this was something that I did wrong. So let me figure out, how I can do better at this." And they'll, figure out how to do it, either, whether it be doing research beforehand, or whether it be, diversifying more and not being too concentrated. So I guess everyone just reacts to things differently.
Yeah, I mean, self-reflection's very hard, and some people can't do it or won't do it. Some, are more adept at it, if you will. But the ones that we've seen that have a harder time, just if you see something bad happens and you say, "I got, somebody screwed me,"
it's fault.
It's passing the blame to somebody else. That's hard to overcome, because there's no accountability. They can't look at themselves and say, "Okay, I messed up on this." So it's
like people getting into cash and missing the run-up.
Right, right.
And then they don't come back and say, "I screwed up." Listen, I love saying "I screwed up." I mean, I really do. Just ask Elizabeth. I say it all the time. And actually, I've gotten pretty good at it. But doesn't always help. I mean, there's still the consequences.
Right.
It doesn't change the consequences. But it kind of makes you don't have to keep defending what you did.
Right.
Yeah. She let me know I screwed up at the end of last segment. So we'll just move on. See, let's say something. We have always been a Lexington show. Just recently, we opened up in Louisville. It's an experiment. We're on a sister station in Louisville for 2 hours on Saturday mornings from 8 to 10. We don't know if people there are going to like what we're talking about or not. We hope they will. We have a commitment to trying to grow the business in Louisville. We don't know if Louisville people will have an interest in trying to do business with us. You might be pleasantly surprised. Based upon other people that you know about, we are a little different. You can gain a bit of an insight into how we run money by listening to our radio show and hearing how we talk. And, you know, it's going to take a while. We've had people listen to the show for a year or two before they ever called us, or longer. But we're in it for the long haul, at least until next week.
The goal of the radio show also has always been to educate.
Guide and empower.
Thank you. It's good.
I want you to know I still knew it.
Well, it's true.
Yeah,
I mean,
it is true.
We really, and that educational process does not stop after people give us a call. When they come in, we continue the education process. We're always learning,
right?
And we pass that on to the clients and the prospects. And we love to look at people's portfolio with no obligation, just to give them another set of eyes on it too.
Mm-hmm.
And there always will be an honest opinion. And I also have told Tom, don't. He's turned people away before that were invested in things that he thought were well suited for where they need. And he said, you don't need us.
So you don't want me to do that anymore?
No, it's to your credit that, when we were first starting the business and we really, really needed the business, yeah, it kind of undid me a little bit. But it was to your credit that despite.
I'll just try not to tell you when it happens.
Yeah, well, that aside, it's to your credit, and it's to Mike's credit and Darsh's credit that there is a different level of commitment through the educational process. It keeps us honest too.
Absolutely. Well, and you know, we communication's big. You know, meeting with clients. You know, there's other firms that meet with clients. There's other firms that do newsletters, but
it's not like our newsletter.
Not like it is. It actually is not. I mean, ours is 100% homegrown here in the office.
That's the truth. A lot of the newsletters you do where they cut and paste different things.
But the other thing, I mean, our clients can call us, you know, here at the office. I mean, they do. They're very comfortable calling us. They're not intimidated by it. So that communication is there. That comfort level's there. But then also this show. I mean. Yes, we're trying to, you know, have new people get interested in what we do, but it's also a lot of our clients listen to the show because it gives insight as to.
Let me ask you this. How many people have you had ask you if Adarsh is Irish?
This week?
I could say I've been asked two or three times, who's that Irish guy you got on there? Well, the fact is, he does like to go to an Irish pub. I mean, so there's something is translating, and that's what they're thinking about you.
Must be, yeah. Although I don't think I sound Irish at all.
I don't think you do either. So, but yeah, I've been asked that. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I'm out now. I've got nothing on that one.
He just keeps looking at Adarsh and grinning, about people thinking he's Irish.
You know, I've never had anybody sit down in a restaurant on the other side of the room and say, are you that guy on the radio show? I've never had that happen. Adarsh has had that happen. That,
yes. Happened to me at Oasis a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
It was an older couple.
I mean, I bet it's happened more than that.
Yeah. I think it's happened a few times, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. You kind of start talking like you're from Ashland again.
Then nobody would understand me.
Yeah. Well, that would be your trademark.
There you go.
You all are silly. I think I am going to turn a little music on here. And I'm going to remind you all that if you like what you've heard, you can always find more of the Tom Dupree Show on our website, DupreeFinancial.com. We've got a newsletter we're going to put up on there as well, the newsletter that Mike was speaking of, which is organically grown and written by our guys at Dupree Financial Group. We appreciate you listening. As always, we're powered by Dupree Financial Group, and you are hearing us from our studios in Main Street in Lexington, Kentucky. We hope you'll tune in next week, and we will talk to you then. Have a great week.
You're just minutes away from updating your brain's newsfeed with the biggest trending news on News Radio 630 WLAP.
If you're wondering what's going on in the markets these days, you're not alone. It seems the conventional metrics of discerning value in markets has been thrown out the window. Perhaps it may help to look at interest rates, which are lower than ever. They are lower than in my dad's time in the business and in my granddad's time. Interest rates can justify valuations in the stock market, and lower interest rates can support higher valuations. So maybe things aren't that crazy. We talk about stuff like this at Dupree Financial Group. For a no-obligation review of your retirement investment portfolio, call us at 859-233-0400 or go to DupreeFinancial.com. And be sure to listen to the Tom Dupree Show Saturdays from 7 to 9 a.m. at News Radio 630 WLAP and WLAP.com. That's Dupree Financial Group at 233-0400.
Walmart.com is launching deals for days starting at 7 p.m. on June 20th with huge savings on the hottest items. Up to 40% off select tech, up to 50% off select toys, and up to 60% off summer fashion items. Get the deals while supplies last. That's deals for days starting June 20th at Walmart.com.